It could be, but it may take me a half hour. I do believe that this is prophetic in nature. If you're here and you have in your heart made a new commitment to the Lord, that you plan on seeking Him in a greater way than you have, this message is for you. If you're here and you haven't prayed that, this could be prophetically for you, that you may be something happen that will cause you to want to seek Him in a greater way. Please open in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9. I want to look at people that something happened and it caused them to say, I need more of God. I want to seek Him. I need more of Him and less of me. Daniel, the 9th chapter, and verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. Daniel was reading Jeremiah, and he saw a prophecy that Jeremiah gave. And God gave Daniel understanding of an event that would happen when Jesus would come. But in verse 3, he says, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fastings and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord, my God, and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity. Now remember, this is how to seek God. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled. Sometimes seeking God, you're not only seeking for yourself, you're acknowledging the sins of others. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. He goes on and says, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments, neither have we hearkened unto thy servant, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and princes of our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but to us confusion of faces. So Daniel wants to have some more understanding, and he realizes if it's going to come, he's going to have to up his game. It's one thing to sing, I'm pressing on new heights to gain, but it's another thing to actually do what you've often knew in theology. It's one thing to talk about seeking God, but it's another altogether to actually do it and to follow through with something that is tangible that proves you're putting your money where your mouth is. As I mentioned in Daniel, the 9th chapter, Daniel, he says, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Daniel wasn't just praying a simple quickie prayer to ease his conscience. He rolled up his sleeve and he knew he needed to get down and do business with God. He drew a line in the sand, if you please. So I'm not just going to talk about it, I'm actually going to do it. Now, we may say that's Daniel. I'm not a Daniel. No, but all of us are kings and priests unto God. And though you may not have the freedom, because you work, to literally spend time in prayer, like maybe somebody who is fitting the description, Ephesians, where they have the time to do it, you still can do it. You may not be able to put the hours in, but you can still, in your own private devotion, set your heart to seek the Lord. I want to look at others that said, I got to get down and really do above and beyond what I normally do. Daniel, when you read a few chapters later, he says that as he was praying, he followed through with what he said he was going to do. And in chapter 10, you find that as he was doing what he said he would do, we learn that an angel came to Daniel and said, Daniel, now Daniel's been praying 3 weeks. I don't know if he prayed 24 hours a day, I doubt it. But he had set his heart and his mind, I'm serious. I have to get a hold of God. And he spent 3 weeks fasting and prayer and supplication. And at the end of 3 weeks, we read in chapter 10 that Michael the archangel shows up and says, Daniel, when you made the commitment and you followed through with it to seek God, I was dispatched from heaven to come and help you. But I ran into some opposition, and I've been battling to get to you. And I'm finally here to give you understanding. We finally got victory and got through. I want you to turn to Ezra, the 8th chapter. And there is another man who we read who said, I got to get a hold of God. And again, I believe that this is for somebody that lately in your heart, maybe God's been moving on you. You have felt, I got to do more, and I'm going to do more. But in the book of Ezra, we find another man in a similar way like Daniel was going to really bear down. In Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21, hear the words of this prophet. He said, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God and to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. If you go back to verse 15, he says something similar. And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priest and found that there were none of the sons of Levi. He called everybody by the river and was getting ready to tell them to seek God. When he got there, we ain't got no Levites, which were a tribe, which were priests unto God, and said, we're not going to do this without the preachers. We're not going to do this without the Levites. He was embarrassed that somehow they'd been overlooked. And he said, so gathered them together, but they made sure they had a Levite when they began to seek God in verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right of way for us and for our children and for all our substance. There was another man at the same time, a contemporary of Ezra. His name was Nehemiah. And if you'll look at the book of Nehemiah, I want you to see that he also was one that determined, I got to seek God. I've got to do more than just the normal. The book of Nehemiah is right after Ezra. And in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 11, As I mentioned in the Sunday school class, Nehemiah, he wasn't a preacher. He was just a good churchgoer. And I mean that in the most respectful way. And someone came to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is living in captivity. This foreign country came and grabbed all the people there and took them off to this other country. And while he's there, a couple of years went by and someone came to Nehemiah and said, Nehemiah, you know where our stomping ground, where we grew up, it's all torn down. They've come in and it's just demolished. And Nehemiah, it broke his heart to know that that happened. And so Nehemiah was feeling terrible about it. And he says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, and he's talking to God. He realized, I'm going to do something about this. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now earlier in verse 4, you'll find that Nehemiah, he also did something more than just talk about it. In verse 4, and it came to pass, when I heard these things, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. That's after he heard the terrible news. He decided to do something about it. In verse 6, he says, as he's talking to God, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, and thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now night and day. If you're serious about seeking God, because something in your life has happened and you need, I want you to take the instruction of these guys. With him it's night and day. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and he does what Daniel did, they're confessing their sins and they're seeking the Lord. And so Nehemiah, before the king, the king realizes that his countenance is down. He's the king's cupbearer. Tasted the wine, I guess, before the king did. And the king noticed his countenance was down and said, why are you down? How can I not be down, king? And he shared his grievance. And we see that God was orchestrating and used those prayers that Nehemiah had. This was not a little prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, or a prayer that is a quick prayer that when the king asked him what's wrong, you'll find in chapter 2, when the king asked him what's wrong, in verse 4, he said, for what doest thou make request? And so he prayed a quick prayer. But your quick prayers are only good if they're backed up by your longer prayers. And he makes this quick prayer. He said, so I prayed unto the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king and thy servant, and if I found favor. And so he shared his heart, thou I'm troubled. And God used it providentially and raised up that he might be used to go and to restore his homeland. And the first thing that God had him do was build a wall. I will say no more. When Moses was leading the children of Israel into the promised land, Moses knew, I got to have more of God. And Moses, we read, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Let's not leave out Jesus Christ. Right after his baptism, when he was by the river, where John was. And you'll often find, though they didn't have the structures, the children of Israel, often in captivity, because they're in a foreign land, didn't have the temples and the buildings to gather. But they would often gather by a river, a body of water. And that seemed to become something they often did. You'll find that Ezekiel, he says in the book of Ezekiel, when I was by the river of Shebar, the Spirit of the Lord came. Now you might think Ezekiel's just down by the river and bang, God opened up the heavens and gave him a revelation. No, Ezekiel was by the river because that was the places where you seek God. And yes, as much as I believe in God providentially coming to you and just boom, most times it doesn't happen that way. It happens because people set their face to seek the Lord and go beyond the normal routine of things. And their heart gets desperate and they're, and I'm going to do more than I just normally do. And that's what Moses did when he went and fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And that's what Nehemiah had done. And that's what Ezekiel was doing when the heavens opened and he had a vision by the river Shebar in Ezekiel 1:1. And if you'll recall, when Jesus was there with John the Baptist and he's by a river, almost symbolic again of the people gathering. And there, John the Baptist sees Jesus. And the Spirit of God descends in the form of a dove. And there Jesus is baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, the Bible says, the Spirit drove him or led him into the wilderness. Jesus knew, I got to have more. And that's not to say he wasn't given a fullness, but he had his humanity, and his humanity recognized, and the Spirit recognized, you're going to need more. And so Jesus went into the wilderness to seek God like the old ones did. And I want to say, if you expect God to move, I mentioned last week, spirituality just doesn't come. There's a price to pay to get a hold of God. And so these ones that I've mentioned, I've tried to show is our example. And so Jesus, as he is there seeking God for 40 days and 40 nights, then at the end of that, the devil came. And that's my second point. My first point is, if you expect God to move, you're going to need to seek him more than you normally do. My second point is, when you do seek him, I prophetically want to warn you ahead of time, expect the enemy to come and to fight you. And when he does fight you, don't think you're doing something wrong. Don't think, well, man, I shouldn't do this. I'm just saying that in every case, when you find when people and the people of God press forward to do more, it is biblically so, and also by revelation show that you are going to probably encounter battles that you normally don't encounter. You are moving into a realm that you have not hereto been before. And as Moses sought the Lord, he came down from the mountain, and what does he see but the enemy? And Aaron has built a golden calf. And when Nehemiah sets his heart to seek the Lord, and as he starts to do, there's always the enemy that rises up. And you find through the book of Nehemiah that Nehemiah speaks of two fellows that just became a thorn in his side, named Sanballat and Tobiah, and were there to oppose him. And the same with Jesus. When he went to seek the Lord, as soon as he's got done seeking the Lord, the devil showed up and tempted him. And Jesus withstood the devil the way you and I ought to withstand him. And he quoted scripture. So when Daniel, as he began to seek the Lord, likewise Michael, when he finally got there and said, the moment you started, you moved into a realm that you need to be aware of. You see, the Bible says that we're to put on the whole armor of God. And in that passage, the sixth chapter, it says, praying always. And I just want to say, and I encourage you to seek the Lord. But I want to give you a heads up. Be prepared for the devil to fight you in ways that, where did that come from? Because it is biblical and it happens. And Paul one time said, I purposed to come to you, but Satan hindered me. And that's why the Bible says when Daniel said, and the angel came to give him understanding, the moment you started, I was dispatched, but there was a war in the heavens. He said, I thought the devil was below us. No, he's above us. He'll be going there later. But right now, the Bible says in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers. And he talks about them being up above us. And there are demonic forces. If we're Pentecostal, we believe in God, but we better wise up and know there's a devil and be on guard there's a devil, and that when you do begin to seek the Lord, and I want to encourage you to seek the Lord, you need to be aware of the Sanballats and the Tobias and the devils and the things that will come, and that I want to say, don't be discouraged, keep plowing on, we will win if you keep moving ahead. And I've sensed that in the Holy Spirit to tell you that. So, if God has moved on you, I want you to do it. Seek Him more than you have. Second thing, be prepared for things to come out. Where did that come from? That is out of the ordinary. They will happen. And we win. Keep moving ahead. Don't stop. Jesus defeated the devil, and you can defeat him too. And I'm calling our church, whether he's moved on you or not, to begin to seek him more than you have. How many believe that'd be a good idea? How many of you are not going to respond to me no matter what I do? Devil's already fighting. If God don't do it, it don't get done. But he enlists our help, and we can do it. We can do it. And I want to say something that I feel the Lord would have us do. In the next few weeks, on Sunday morning, I want you to put together a testimony, about 3-5 minutes worth, and we're going to have 2 or 3 people in the morning testify of something wonderful God has done in your life. If you want to refer to salvation, fine, the baptism, fine, or something that happened that you're excited about that the Lord did. How many know we need to encourage one another and to see these things happening? I want to share with you something that happened to me. My wife says my memory's going. This past week, the AT&T man came. He's promised to show up. But the AT&T man came, and I've got a captive audience in my office. And I got to talk to him. We probably talked for an hour. And as I'm talking to him, I found out, I get right in there. I can be really friendly. What was it this one guy said to me one time? He said, I have a word from the Lord. He said, you have a way of telling people they're wrong, and at the same time, they won't get mad at you. I said, I don't think so. But I remember talking to him, and come to find out, I said, well, do you have any, what's your background? You got any, you're in the church, you know I'm going to talk to you about God. He said, well, yeah, I expected that. I said, well, what's your background? He said, well, I'm from the Philippines. I said, oh, the Philippines. I said, I had a friend of mine that ministered in the Marshall Islands and at the Philippines. And in fact, he had a choir come to our church. And so I'm just trying to, you know, make talk like Jesus did with a woman at the well. And I told him that we had this choir come. And in fact, I said, do you know that there was about 50 of them? We didn't know where we were going to put them, and so we let them stay in the church. And one night before service or after service, I'm in the back prayer room, and I noticed that about 20 of them were leaning up against the wall, and these other ladies were picking things in their hair. And I asked, what are they doing? They said, they're picking out the lice. I said, oh, Lord. And so we had to go over the whole church. So I was telling this story. He said, yeah. He said, that's a normal thing. Everybody has it there. I said, did you grow up in the Philippines? And he said, yes. And so I'm talking to him about how he came here and how he's doing. And then he said, well, what kind of church are you? And I said, I'm one of them crazy kind. He said, well, what's that? And I said, well, we're Pentecostal. We talk in tongues and we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. He said, what's the gifts of the Spirit? I said, well, that means that God will sometimes, there's nine of them. And I said, sometimes I use, he said, you. He said, what do you do? I said, all right, sometimes God will show me something about somebody, something I would not have known in the natural, but God showed. In fact, I stopped right there. I said, I'm going to ask God to show me something about you. And he didn't quite know how to take that. He said, okay. So we kept talking. And about 20 minutes later, I said, hey, do you remember when I said I was going to ask God to have me show me something about you? He said, yeah. He said, you get something? I said, I did. He said, what did you get? I said, the Lord showed me, I see you talking to, I think it's your girlfriend, but you mentioned to her you're expecting some money to come to you. And you don't know if it's going to come or not. I said, I'm not talking about your paycheck that you know you're going to get. I'm talking about some money that you're expecting to have. He started laughing. He fell forward. He says, my goodness. He said, it works. And then he promised to come. I got his card. I'm going to be on him like butter on good bread. How many know God is moving? He will move. He does these things. But we need to encourage one another. And yesterday, I'd been trying to preach a friend of mine for a long time. In fact, he came here and preached. How many remember Brother Jim Davis, Pooji Tuhan? And he called me and I said, Brother Davis, I've been trying to reach you for the last 6 months. I said, your phone that I had, one of the things I felt God has had me do is keep in contact with all of us older ministers that are dying off. We're like dinosaurs. And remember to pray for Brother Galen Allen. He got rushed to the hospital again. And they had to put him on dialysis machine and help him again. And then remember Brother James G. You know, his wife died. And then his son, early a few years ago, had committed suicide. And then his son, who was pastoring the church where he was going, he died. And so Brother James G. is really down. And so we try to contact one another and cheer one another up. And then there's Brother Davis, and I knew that his wife had died, and I knew he was nowhere to go and didn't know what to do, and his family said, we need the place you're living in, and so he didn't want to cause any problem, and so he moved on. Now he's living with his son, but his cell phone, and so I've called around. Does anybody know where Brother Jim Davis is? I just feel responsible for checking on these guys, and so yesterday I get a phone call. And it's Brother Davis. Brother Davis, I said, I've been trying to find you. I've called everywhere. And nobody knows where you are. I tried Brother Crowder. I tried the Giles. I tried this. He said, well, he said, I got to thinking. I haven't heard from Dennis. I'll bet he don't have my number. So he called me. And he gave me his number. And he said, you got any stories for me? I'm always telling him stories. And so I told him the stories. And he starts crying. He said, Brother Connor, he said, you made my day. How many know we need to make each other's day? And was talking about the things of God because they're real. And so next Sunday, I want somebody, you be praying this week. We won't have them all at once. Give me a call and we'll, if not, but we'll open it up. And I want you to share something the Lord's done that's excited. How many are living for God? If you're living for God, God should be working in your life, maybe not to that degree or this degree, but somewhere. You can talk about his faithfulness. You can talk about his goodness. You can talk about how you came to him. There's so many things. How many want to seek God? Let's seek him. Number two, be prepared for the enemy to come. And number three, we win. We win. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, I believe you're calling us to seek your face. Unless you move on someone, my words alone are not enough, and maybe these words will maybe quicken and confirm what people have been sensing. But if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You said in Malachi, prove me now, here with saith the Lord, And that's just over money. How much more are you willing to prove yourself in the spiritual areas? When these things are written for our example, the Bible says in Corinthians, Lord, Calvary Temple has got a lot of history. But it's time to us to gather and to seek you. And we believe you'll do your part. Anybody here that would say, I have felt God call me to seek him in a greater way? Would you let the Lord know, Lord, I'm going to do it? If he hasn't, be prepared for him to begin to talk to you. And I want to encourage you, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. I'm sure all of us have prayers and needs that the only way it's going to happen is if we pray. And if we pray, he is faithful and just to answer our prayers. Let's find a place to pray, shall we? Let it begin now.
Thank you.